I'm going to have slides for the verses up on the screens in a moment. And, this message was prepared yesterday. I usually prepare it further ahead than that. And the printer was being mean to me. Have you ever had a printer be mean to you? And I just now realized that my notes for this morning, I don't have them in print, but I did email them to myself to reflect on beforehand. So I'm not playing a game on my phone. Yeah, I hope the battery does last. If I just abruptly end and say amen, it's because the battery went dead on my phone. But I'm going to make use of them there. And as you know, obviously, that there is this coronavirus that's going around, and I don't typically preach messages that are related to current events, those sort of things. I usually shy away from that, but I felt impressed upon my heart to do so this morning, and one of the reasons why I was hesitant to do that is as people react to this thing, you know, people get scared the more people react to it, and you have large-scale things like the NBA suspending its season and all large sporting events. So we don't even have that to go to. You know, usually we say, well, if you do it at sporting events, then you should do it at church. Well, you can't really say that now because most sporting events are being suspended or they're doing it without fans being present. And so I didn't want to add to the frantic pace of things, but at the same time felt like there was a need to address the virus. And I don't know the future. Do you know that? Now, sometimes God has given me a word, sometimes God has given you a word, and sometimes He just makes us trust Him without knowing what tomorrow holds. And this whole thing might just blow over without much of anything. And that's what we would prefer, right? That would be the preferred thing. It might result just in minor sickness. Some people might get this virus and it might just work its way through. For all we know, it could end up in major sickness. And even for some, as we know throughout the world, there have been some fatalities to this, though it's more isolated to people of certain health conditions. We have friends that serve as chaplains in South Korea. And there are areas that are pretty hard hit by this. And so it's not something that just shake a stick at, you know. We should consider it. And it could be a big thing, it could be a small thing. But God's bigger than the small things and the big things, isn't He? So it could be something that, and I'm not one of those doomsdayer preachers. You know how some doomsdayer preachers, every time something big happens, it's the end of the world, and this is what God's going to use to usher the end. But we have no idea what God is going to use to usher the end in, right? He could use something that we think is a catastrophe. He could use something that we think is small or anywhere in between. So we don't know where this is headed and where God's going to lead this. One of my concerns is the economy, because even if the virus does not have a big impact on us, we've already seen economic reactions to this, and some of them may have long-lasting effects for certain small businesses and such. If you have 401ks, some of you have seen your balances tank over the past month or so, so there's already been economic repercussions to this that might be just small recession, maybe a major economic thing. We don't know what tomorrow holds. And I don't say that as a thing to frighten us. I say that as we're going to look to some statements in Scripture that God has a lot of things to say to assure us when we are facing small things, when we're facing big things, when we're facing the unknown, which I don't know about you, sometimes the unknown is worse than facing the big things. Right? I just don't know what to expect around the corner. This could be a thing, even if it's awful, it could be a thing that leads to a great revival. It could lead to a thing that causes people to realize their need for the Lord and stir them to get back to Him or to him for the first time. And I want you to be prepared. As your pastor, I want you to be prepared for whatever comes. Whether it's small or whether it's big, I want us to have some things to hang on to. And I don't know if you're like me. I have certain favorite phrases and verses in Scripture that I hold on to when I face certain things. And I remind myself of these things. And so I have, we're not going to spend a lot of time on each, but I have 8 promises from the Scripture regarding the coronavirus. And I have 8 principles to live by as we walk through this season of the coronavirus. The first promise, Bonnie, if you would. 2 Timothy 1:7, God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. As some translations say, of sound mind. That is, that even if we face even panic-level experiences, God gives us the ability to have this sound mind in the midst of it, this ability to be composed. Have you ever met people that are just composed no matter what they're facing? That can come from other things, but the more powerful source is for that to come from the working of the Holy Spirit. And so when you face fear-evoking experiences, let the Holy Spirit do His work in you and know that God is wanting to give to us the spirit of power and love and self-control. Second promise, Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And I forgot to include the verse that follows it that says, and the peace of God, which will surpass all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When you are afraid, and we've mentioned this before, when you are afraid, that means it's time to pray. Whether it's I'm afraid of a little thing or a big thing, whether it's in the middle of the night, whether it's during the day, whether I'm out about, whether I'm at home, when you are afraid, now it's time to pray. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer. So when you feel it, turn it to God. And the promise is that if I turn to Him, no matter what it is I'm facing, then He's going to give me this peace that surpasses all understanding. Not that the circumstances are going to be radically changed. Not that I'm not going to face difficult and sometimes even horrendous things. But I can face so many things if I have Him working in me, giving me that sound mind, and enabling me to have that peace by turning to Him when I am anxious. The third promise, and I'm saving handing out stuff so that way if I have a virus, it won't be on the flyer for you. And so what I want to do is I'm going to send this out to you electronically. So I'm going to send a link that has this and my notes on it into that remind text. And if you don't get that, if you didn't get 6 consecutive texts this week about the service, then you're not getting that text. And so just text me and say, hey, I'm not getting that. And I'll send you the link with these items, the PowerPoint presentation and the notes. And if you can't get in, if you're technologically challenged and you can't open those links, then just text me and let me know. I'll find a way to get the information to you. Psalm 23, verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, some of this might be more fear than it is reality, but I'm no expert, and we're in a surrounding where people are intimidated by the idea of death, and we're walking in the valley of the shadow of death. It's just, it's visible. We feel it. Some people feel it, and we might face moments, and again, I don't know what tomorrow holds. So this might be a small thing, it might be a big thing, but if we face death, Heather mentioned that someone she knows has a 73-year-old, I think, uncle, you said? You don't know him, but you saw him somewhere. They were in a Facebook group, which Facebook is more news anymore now than mainstream media, but someone had a 73 uncle that recently died from the coronavirus. So it does happen. And if death is around us, if we lose somebody, we're in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death. And it's in that place that we have the promise that I do not fear any evil. I don't fear any dangerous or concerning experience because
He is with me in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death. His presence is with me. His rod and his staff is with me. And so when you feel that anxiety coming up, and some of you have faced many difficult things, and when you face those things, remind yourself, He is with me. I'm in the valley right now. I'm in the midst of the shadow of death, but He is with me. And then add more simple phrase, the fourth one, Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I can't tell you how many times I've utilized that line, reminding myself, He's with me. Right now, He's with me. And sometimes you don't necessarily feel it, but remind yourself of that reality, even if you don't feel it. He is with me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. Fifth one, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. If we are following Jesus Christ, every single thing that happens to us will result in some good in our life. Every single thing, that includes the good things and the bad things. You think of all the difficult things you have gone through, all those things, there is something good that God's going to bring from that. And so in the days ahead, if this ends up having no effect, praise God. If it does, again, whether it's the virus or whether it's economically, some of us here in this room might end up being impacted economically because of this. And in the midst of that, we can say, but all things work together for the good of those who love Him. So I know that somehow this bad thing is going to result in something good. And I want you to hold on to those when you walk through those experiences. The sixth promise, Philippians 4:19, my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Even if that means we need to pinch pennies, even if that means we need to make some adjustments in our personal finances. Does anybody still remember the Great Depression? Any of you in that place? No. Anybody remember parents talking about the Great Depression? Okay. Those people went through a time when there was not much, but many of them found a way through it, and God has never left His children begging for bread. He will always provide. So if you face difficult financial circumstances, remember, He will always provide for all my needs. Seventh promise, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. So no matter what you find yourself facing, and this is what fear does to us, it causes us to not trust in Him. Because, well, how can I? He didn't fix this. He didn't resolve that. He didn't prevent this. And in every experience we face, we need to remind ourselves, He is trustworthy. This is difficult. This is challenging. But He is trustworthy. And I can trust Him through this. And many of you, and I was praying regarding this during our service, you heard me say this prayer, many of us have walked through those experiences that were difficult and dark and upsetting, and we, after the fact, saw how God was trustworthy in the midst of it. And oh, how easy it is to forget that when we're in the midst of fear again. But we must remember that He is trustworthy, and remember those experiences in which He has proven that to us. Eighth promise, 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. All of us are going to die. Did you know that? I have news for you. All of us are going to die. Now, probably most of us not because of this virus, but there have been some who have died because of this virus. And if you have a fear of death, and if you get it, or a loved one, maybe you have a loved one that lives in a state that's more affected, maybe you know someone that lives out of the country, and if you find yourself facing death, there's no promise that we're going to escape death. In fact, it's the opposite. There is the promise we're going to face it. And did you know that if you are within Christ Jesus, you can stare in the face of death and say, I'm not worried about this. Because at the other end of this, he is still with me. He's going to usher me through this death experience and over to the other end where it's far better than here. And so it does not matter what this virus brings, whether it's economic repercussions, whether it's bigger than any of us think or imagine, we have no reason to fear. In fact, that this is something that no doctor can give us. You know, no expert can give us, no politician can offer us, is that when we face death, when nobody else can stop it, Jesus brings us right through to the other end. Amen. So when we face whatever we face, whether it's nothing, again, I said, I don't know the future, whether it's nothing or whether it's big, I want you to hold on to all these 8 promises and remind yourself, God's got it. God's got it. It is okay. And if it gets really difficult, he still has it, and we're going to make it through all of those things. Now the 8 principles to live by as we walk through these. And did you know that when there's times of difficulty and trial, humanity shows its colors? Whether we see the heroic, and we've seen that in our history, some people rise to the occasion and do the heroic and the good things. And then others, they turn to the flesh and they do evil things and they do carnal things. And we want to make sure that we are the ones who walk in the heroic and the work of the Spirit and the character of the Spirit. So first principle is don't panic. Again, we said this verse, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Don't panic, no matter what it is. And I think of the, and this is not anywhere near this, but 9/11, those brave first responders who did not panic and walked into the chaos, I have to think that many of them, God had his hand on them. And you can face some of the most horrific things and still not have to panic, not have to be afraid, because the Holy Spirit, greater is he that is in us than he is in the world. And so I have to make sure I maintain my composure and not panic. However, the second principle, don't test. Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted, and Satan took him to the top of the pinnacle and said, throw yourself down because God will send his angels to rescue you. And Jesus' response was in Matthew 4:7. He said to him, again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. So just because God protects us and God spares us and we are not to fear, doesn't mean we can bring harm upon ourselves. Doesn't mean we can't be unwise in the way we handle things. So when you face this virus, God might protect you. It doesn't mean you shouldn't wash your hands. It doesn't mean that if you are sick, you shouldn't exercise caution and quarantine yourself. So don't test this virus out and say, yeah, I'll take you on. You know, whoever is sick, come on, give me a big hug. Plant a kiss right on me if you have that virus. Awesome. Don't test God. And we need to be careful with this thing and wise. So there's a balance between don't fear, don't panic, but don't test God. Okay? So still be wise and exercise caution with dealing with this. The third principle, be respectful. The overseers were examples to us on how to behave, and one of their traits was to be respectable. In 1 Timothy 3:2, we are to be respecting to others. And some of that is being willing to withhold your germs from others. Okay? And I want you to understand that this virus, some believe that it's 5 days, maybe a week, that you can have it and not have any of the symptoms of it. So just keep in mind that you might not be afraid of this virus, and you might think it's not going to affect you, but just be polite and respectful to people. If they don't want to shake your hand, that's okay. And in fact, you might have noticed, I don't know if it worked out entirely, thank you, Dwayne and Arlene, I had them open the doors for you when you came in so you didn't have to touch a handle. Okay. Yes, and Cindy here was bleaching any of the major hand surfaces just to be cautious, because we want to be respectful people, right? And so even if there is no cause to be alarmed, even if this is a small thing, we should be respecting to people who have concerns. And so we need to be respectful. Fourth, we need to be kind. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So don't belittle the views of others. And I've been praying through being in the middle of this as it was coming down the pike. Some people are all the way on the side of completely panic. Some people are on the side of it's nothing, nothing's going to happen. And I've been really sensing that I need to be in the middle somewhere. And so when someone talks to you and they say, it's nothing, I don't care, they're cavalier about it, don't belittle them because of where they're coming from. And if someone's scared out of their minds and they're not going to go anywhere, don't belittle them. I'm not saying that they might not be wrong or that maybe there's some struggle, whether they're being too fleshly or lack of faith, and I'm not even saying any of that is the reality. But even if it is, that doesn't matter. We still need to be kind, don't we? And so this, in the midst of these things, we need to be kind towards people in whatever way that they're dealing with the concerns. The fifth one is to be considerate. Titus 3 verse 2 says the elders' example to us was that they were to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all. So if someone is coughing, that does not mean they have the virus. However, if somebody slides away from you when you start coughing, and then just be courteous. Don't say, oh, for goodness sakes, you know. This is a virus that you might not take serious, but I don't know, it might be serious. And the thing is this is almost a newer virus. They're still studying it. We don't know really everything about it. And so be considerate, be loving, be respectful. Also, on the be considerate side, Heather had mentioned that she found out that someone went to, I don't know if it was Walmart or whatever, and they bought like 6 cases of toilet paper. You know how that's going. I think it was Walmart that they had stocked up, and then within an hour, all the toilet paper was gone. And I don't think you need 6 cases of toilet paper. Maybe, but just remember that if you buy 6 cases, that's 6 cases that nobody else can get. You need toilet paper, but other people do also. So get toilet paper, but make sure that you're not buying so much that other people can't use it. Someone got caught on Amazon who purchased a large amount of hand sanitizer, 18,000 containers of hand sanitizer, and was selling them at high prices. It's because he knew there was a shortage, and they caught him. But some people aren't caught by just buying it for themselves and hoarding and those sort of things. And again, be safe. Take care of the things that you do need, but make sure that you're being considerate that there are still other people that need to have access to toilet paper and cleaning supplies and those sort of things. So, like I said, it's difficult times like this, and I'd hate to see if it was worse. It's difficult times like this where people will show whether they're a heroic, fearless, faithful, Christ-like individual, or they're going to act in the flesh. And may it be that us Bethelites are kind and considerate and understanding towards one another. Number 6, to be understanding. Listen to this proverb. Proverbs 11:12, whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. Again, going along with what I was saying a minute ago, don't belittle where anybody is coming from. In fact, if you feel like you need to correct or mock or belittle somebody because of their concerns, because of their lack of concerns, then the best thing to do at the moment is to not say anything. In fact, Heather, and she wasn't belittling me, but she asked me, she looked at me like, what are you going to say? She asked me a few questions, and I said, you know what? I don't even know if I want to give an answer to that yet. Because I and that some of this is just who I am, I want to give the right answer. And I think some of us need to exercise a little more caution with, not really that category, but if you see someone reacting away and inside you go, oh, I just want to tell them, just snap out of it or whatever, or get with it, or you know, whatever side you're coming from, just don't say anything yet. Just wait, see what the Holy Spirit shows you to say. And again, no matter how wrong someone may be, there is never cause to belittle somebody. There is never cause to be unkind, inconsiderate, and those sort of things. These are traits of Christ and fruits of the Spirit, to be kind and gentle and gracious and understanding. Seventh, keep your passion. Matthew 6:33, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This very well could be a thing that could be a distraction for the things that God is doing, and I encourage you, don't let that distract you. So pray all the more fervently, study the Scriptures all the more fervently. As opportunity arises, share your faith. If we need to be careful, and as you know, the attendance is lower, I'm not surprised by that. I had some pastor friends that really wrestled with whether or not to have services, and many people aren't coming just because they're trying to stay away from crowds and gatherings, and not faulting people for doing that. But when this blows over, jump right back in the thick of things. Okay, don't let this stop what God is doing in your life and what God is doing in His kingdom. Eight, pray. And that's smaller, you might not be able to see that, but 1 Timothy 2 says, first of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. We are to pray for the people in our society so that it will go well for us. And there are leaders that are trying to make decisions, and I hope that you will pray for them because they're under a lot of pressure. No matter what way this goes. In fact, someone put a polite post on Facebook. I live vicariously through Heather from Facebook, so I get all my information from her. But not that she's on there all the time. That's like her gift for me, is to inform me, because you know I'm not a big news person either. But posted this comment to pastors saying, we see you. For those of you who decided to cancel service and are going to get criticized for it, we see you. For those who decided to have service and are going to get criticized for it, we see you. It's in times of challenges that leaders are going to have to make decisions, and they're going to get criticized no matter which decision they make. And so pray for the pastors in our community that have challenged, because there could be impact to the church when there's services that are canceled, and impact if they don't do that. And so pray that our pastors would have wisdom, that the boards of our churches would have wisdom. Pray for our politicians, whether you like them or not. Pray that they make good decisions. Pray for our medical professionals who are really putting themselves in on the front lines of this issue. Pray for our businesses, especially our small businesses, that God would give them wisdom to make it through whatever is ahead of us. We need to pray. And I believe that if we pray, God can do great things, and He can do miracles, and He can turn the worst of scenarios around. And so don't take this lightly, to lack in prayer. You might feel like it's a minor thing and it'll blow over, but still put it to prayer and intercede on the behalf of those that are leading us. So I'm going to conclude with some remarks. And again, I'm looking at my phone. I'm not checking my text messages. It's just for my remarks. We've said this before, and I sometimes I'm shocked. Are you ever shocked when God uses you? You know, sometimes I'm shocked when God uses me. I'm not used in the prophetic very often, that's not my primary gifting. But if you'll remember a while back, I'm testing your memory to see if you remembered all my messages over the past 3 years. Just kidding. But if you'll remember, I made a comment a while back, and some of it was because of some ripples already, that I said, I feel like God is moving and He's preparing us for something. And when that happens, when you progress, not when you stay the same. So if you're already studying your Bible and praying and you keep doing that, that's not progression. That's you're still maintaining. But when you start doing more, that's when the enemy comes and says, how do I get them to stop? And he'll bring distractions to try to get us to stop. And I believe that this coronavirus, whether it's from God, whether it's from the enemy, I'm not really going to be one of those guys that do that. But I know that with everything, God has a purpose in it, and the enemy has a purpose in it. It was the same with the crucifixion. God had a goal in mind with that, and the enemy had a goal in mind with that. And we need to be wise and discerning to pick that up. And I believe one of the things the enemy would love is that this virus distracted us not just a little bit. You see, it's okay if we need to tend to things for a season, but I believe it's the enemy's goal to distract us for the long haul. That, boy, God was moving and things were happening, and then this virus came and it all fell away and it never recovered again. And I don't believe that's going to happen. Unless we let that happen. Because human flesh can decide to fall prey to fear and distractions and other things and concerns and not get right back on track. And I believe that we're going to jump right back on track. Amen? If we put all our energy towards the working of the Holy Spirit. So, again, forgive me. I meant to have this. I still haven't gotten my glasses yet, and so I've been driving around. So if you see me driving around my red car, just pull over until I get by. But I can't see this very well, so I'm trying to hold it in my eyes to help me out. But a couple of things to consider is one with this virus. It is a major concern for at-risk individuals. As I mentioned, there have been fatalities, and they're predominantly with people who have at-risk health issues. And so let's give that the concern that it should be given. And so if you know someone has major respiratory issues, they need to make sure that they stay away from people, at least until this blows over. If they have major heart issues, they need to deal with that, and they need to be careful. They say older people, and they don't really easily clarify that. Some say 60, some say 80, some say anywhere in between. It might depend on your health condition. But just keep that in mind that the older a person is, the more at risk they are. And that should concern us. Even if I'm not in an at-risk category, I should be concerned for my brothers and sisters in Christ who are. And so we should take that as a concern. I mentioned before there are still unknowns about this virus, so don't just belittle this virus just because so far it seems like for average health people it goes in for 2 weeks, it causes some problems, and then it goes away. We still don't know everything about this virus, so don't just take it for granted. And walk in that middle. Again, I'm not saying be afraid, but I'm saying don't be foolish and test God either. All right, let's walk with wisdom and caution, and boldness, and faith. Amen? Amen? Can we walk in that middle? So here's some things that we're going to do as a church, and it's not to cause alarm. Again, it's just to be wise, all right? So I'm going to ask you to be respectful and considerate, and pray for me, because I have to try to make sure I'm taking care of the sheep. And I have to also make sure that you don't become afraid either. And so we need to walk this fence. So we're going to do some things just to be careful until it blows over. Okay, are you okay with that? Yeah. All right. Then when it blows over, we'll jump right back into our crazy usual selves. But until then, we're just going to be careful out of concern for others and respect for others. And as I mentioned, thank you for your patience with painting. We're just going to do it in stages. So if you see tape up, if we're partially painted, I hope you can be gracious with that. Regarding food events, we probably won't have food events until this goes by, all right? So I told May we're not going to put the food out today because everybody's hands will be all over it. And just like I said, if someone has it, we don't know because how long it takes for the symptoms to show. So we're just going to be careful, okay? We're not going to have our lunch today. We're just going to take a break, then have our meeting. Be careful going around and labeling lack of faith on people. Okay? It's because, like Jesus said, we could have said Jesus had a lack of faith because he didn't jump off that pinnacle. All right? Jesus didn't have a lack of faith. He just knew, don't be a dummy. Okay? And so be careful. Same with the food. So we're not going to have the coffee and stuff back there. We're just going to be careful for now. Children's ministry, Rachel offered the idea. I saw her, but I think she went back downstairs. you know how kids are. There's this GIF that says what parents do with the coronavirus. They go buy toilet paper. What kids do, and they have this picture of this kid with this handrail, and he's licking it up and down. So that's just kids. They put everything in their mouth, and they touch everything, and they're just kind of the carriers. And they even say with this virus that there's hardly any children that are getting this virus. They probably are the carriers. So knowing that, because they are often carriers of things, knowing that we're going to try to be careful with our children. So Rachel's having the kids wash their hands when they show up and wash their hands when they leave. Those of you that feel like you're not on the safe end of health, just dodge the children. Don't let them touch you or whatever. And then as far as children's ministry, we had it this morning. We're going to just continue to pray for discernment on how to manage ministry to children. We don't want volunteers to necessarily be in a bad situation. And again, not saying we're going to do anything with it. Just be patient as we ask the Lord to guide us on how to make sure that we're cooperating with preventing things. Hand sanitizer, we did have some. They're sitting on the back table there. As long as we have hand sanitizer available to us, we will typically keep them in the back on Sunday. So when you come in, if you want to, not telling you you have to, if you want to, put some hand sanitizer on. When you leave, put some hand sanitizer. I've been trying to watch lately what my hands touch and when I touch my face. Do you know how hard it is to not touch things? And then to not touch your face after you touch things. And that's why God gave us these hands. They do stuff. And before you know it, you don't realize that you just touched this awful thing and you put your hand in your nose, you know, whatever. We're going to have stuff available to you. You don't have to use it, but we're going to try to have stuff available to you. Communion. Not that this won't blow over in a couple weeks, but we usually do communion the first Sunday of the month. If this has not blown over, we might not observe communion just for a season, because I don't know if I want to hand juice cups and things you're going to put in your mouth around you. And again, I'm not afraid. And honestly, I don't really feel any fear of this. But I think we should be careful, okay? Even if I'm not worried about me getting sick, I want to make sure I don't want to get somebody else sick. So we're going to be careful. Let's just hold that for a minute. So we're going to be careful with that. If you feel like that's sacrilegious and you need to make sure you've done communion in a month, then go buy some grape juice and some crackers, and I'll give you the text that you need to give. If you want me to do communion for you, I'll come to your house and do that with a mask. And just kidding. But again, just trying to be wise and not test God, all right? Greeting time. You saw that we skipped it this morning. That's because I wanted to give you instructions first. If you want to hug someone, give them a hug. If you want to shake their hand, shake their hand. I'm not telling you what you can and can't do. But just be considerate if there are those who don't want to. Or be considerate if you're going to hug someone that might be going home to a loved one that is in the category of high risk. And we just want to be mindful of that. And so if we walk around at greeting time just saying hi, you know, we just do kind of a nod or whatever, that's okay. And if you reach your hand out and someone goes like this, it's okay, all right? We're going to be kind and considerate, okay? And maybe they have less faith than you. Maybe they're smarter than you. You know, I don't know. But just let's exercise caution, okay? If you are sick, stay home. Okay? Now, in other seasons, if you feel like it's a light sickness and it's not whatever, you're going to contain it. But in this time, if you're sick, just stay home. Okay? We don't want to spread those things around. We don't want anybody sick and then having to face something worse than that. If you perceive yourself to be in the high-risk category, then keep yourself away from people. I'm not going to try to define for you what older adult is. If you're in a high-risk category, keep yourself away. We're not judging you if you're not here, okay? We're not judging you. If you're in that category, then just exercise caution. Be respectful for yourself, or be responsible for yourself. So if we have service and you don't feel like you should be at service, then be responsible for yourself and don't come, okay? I'm going to try to make the right call, and I felt like we should have service this morning, so we did. And again, I have other pastor friends that did not have service. Some of them have larger churches, which makes it more complicated. Some of them did have services. Some of them had a moderate, a different kind of form of service. They did some different things. They did some video and stuff like that. Just be responsible for you. So if you don't, nobody's going to pressure you to, you're not obeying God and you're blaspheming God if you decide you're in a realm which you need to be more cautious. For example, I called Denise and myself and told her don't come because she has major respiratory issues, as we know. And if I find any of you expressing the slightest bit of criticism of that on her, I will come after you. Okay? And Cindy said me too. And if I did not call you and tell you to stay home, please be gracious to me. I was just trying to keep in mind those who were in the worst case scenario. Be responsible for others. So again, you might not be afraid of spreading these germs around, but do it. Be careful so that other people don't get your germs, okay? So it's, again, like I said, especially if you're sick, stay home. You might feel like, I'm fine, I can... anybody like me that usually, it doesn't matter how sick you are, I'm fine, I'm going to do whatever I need to do. And if you're like that, then it's not a matter of being responsible for you now, it's a matter of being responsible for other people then, okay? So think of others when you make your decisions. Some of these things are really common sense stuff that we should know, but sometimes we forget them, okay? Sneezing and coughing. Cover, when you're sneezing and coughing. Don't just let it fly anywhere. Washing your hands, not just for your sake, but for the sake of others. So you're washing stuff off your hands so that they don't make contact with others. Using good hygiene, you know, if we start to sniff BO somewhere, we're going to make sure we're on you like... white on rice or whatever. You might not be at risk, You might not be in the at-risk category, but try to not get yourself sick so that you don't become the carrier. Okay? So I'm not in an at-risk category, but I interact with people that are in an at-risk category. And so I need to make sure that I try my best that I don't get sick so that I don't carry it to other people. So do you understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to get us to be mindful and just think this through. No, I mentioned that already. See, this is what happens when you preach from a phone. And again, I want you to try to know where I'm coming from, all right? I'm the pastor. And I told Joyce the other day, I don't remember what the issue was concerning, but I told her, I take seriously the Hebrews passage that says to respect those who are in leadership over you because they give watch over your souls as those who will give an account. I'm going to give an account for the way I led you, and if I don't do a good job, I want to make sure that I'm going to do everything I can so that Jesus can't say, you didn't take care of this well. And so if you perceive it as a lack of faith or too much or whatever, I'm asking you to be gracious to me because I'm a human being. I don't know all the answers, all right? But I'm going to do the best. I'm thankful for the board that we have as I bounce some ideas off of them to think this through. But just be respectful. Know that I agonized throughout the day yesterday and the days before of what's the right thing to do, not what is everybody telling me to do, whether it's news or people who think that this is not a problem, it's what is the right thing to do. And so I ask that you just be considerate as we work through those things. Oh, I forgot to mention this. Pay attention to those text messages, okay? Because I might the day before say we're not going to have such and such because of whatever. And if you show up and say, where was everybody? Well, you missed the text. So just pay attention. I know that some of you have been tempted to send out a sample text that's crazy just to see if I get anybody paying attention to it. Maybe I'll try that one day. But at least for now, pay attention to them. All right? Pay attention to them. And I am not afraid, like I said, but I am frustrated. Because God was starting to move. And it doesn't mean he's not still moving. But I know human nature, and I know that we are easily distracted. And I believe that we've exercised as a church good wisdom in that and we'll in a moment, those of you who are members will see a financial report for the year and stuff. God has been good to us. And you will see that we have a decent cash flow or cash reserve. And sometimes people will see that in the church and say, is that responsible to still have that much money set aside? And listen, if we go through this virus thing and we have an economic collapse, so we have some issues, we have some cash flow that can sustain us for a while. I'm not worried about that. I've made wise choices in my own personal finances that if I end up without for a while stuff coming in, we'll make it. You know, it's just a question of how much work will need to be done afterwards, but we'll make it. But I want you to know that God has great things in store for us, and I'm believing for good things, and Easter is only a few weeks away, and we're probably still, we'll pray, we'll rebuke it away, but we might still be in this season when Easter comes, and there might be the odds that if you hand this invitational piece that's back there for Easter, they might look at you and say, you want me to come to what? Where there's a lot of people? Now? You're crazy? Just hand them out. If people say, no, I'm not going to a large gathering, then hand them out. And I don't know, if we come to Easter Sunday and it's chaos out in the community and we can't meet, then that happens. But we don't know what tomorrow holds, right? For all we know, the virus thing could blow over before this, and then people are flocking to the church for different reasons. So I want to encourage you to take this. We have it on Facebook as well, so you can share the event on the Facebook page. Share this and start asking people. We're going to talk about the crowd asking for Barabbas rather than Jesus. We're going to talk about the exchange and how sometimes in our lives we choose other things rather than to have Jesus, and we're going to walk through that exchange experience on Easter Sunday. So I want to encourage you to invite people to come, and I'm excited for great things. Amen. This virus can be more of an opportunity than that which does anything that hurts us. Do you believe that? Yeah. So will you stand with me? And worship team, we're not going to... actually, yes, I do want you to come forward. I got Joe going, yes, no, yes, no. And what I want you to sing for us as we leave is that song you did, Your Words, Your Words. I just thought those were great words. And what's that? So all active members, we're going to take a 15-minute break. So about 11:52. Okay, thereabouts. If you don't show up, 11:55, I don't know. Don't laugh at me. 11:55, we're going to meet right in here. If you're an active member, we're going to sit on this side. If you're not an active member but you'd like to observe, just sit on this side. And so a 15-minute break, we'll come back together and we'll have our annual business meeting. And the rest of you, go in peace and let the Lord carry these promises with you and for you. And Bonnie's going to do her best to get the recording on the website today before we leave. So if you know someone that couldn't make it, we want to make it as available as fast as possible just because of some people are just not able to come. And I'll send out the link to that as well. But God is good, isn't He? Isn't He? He is with me, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death. He provides for all my needs according to His riches and glory. And I have no reason to fear. He's given me a spirit of love and a sound mind. Amen? So, Father, we thank You so much for Your wisdom. We thank You for Your power and for Your spirit. And we just ask, one, we rebuke this virus. And we know that there's already been two cases in our county. And we just rebuke this, and we ask that You would send this away as fast as it came. Yes. Not just in our county, but around the world. Yes. Lord, especially in China, as I sent out that text, Lord, we pray for some of our missionaries that are still there. We ask for protection over our missionaries and over the underground church and the Christians that are there. Many people that are in much more difficult circumstances than us, we ask that You would deliver them in abundance. And we ask, Lord, any economic repercussions, that You would turn it around quickly, that You would cause us to recover economically, that Your hand would be upon our leaders, Lord, our political leaders, our medical leaders, our experts in the field of science and research. We ask that your hand be upon them, our pastors, and that you would let your anointing be upon them and give them great wisdom and guide them every step of the way. And may this be a thing that brings unity in the body and unity in the nation, and just bring an outpouring of your Spirit and cast out all fear, and let us walk with the assurance of knowing we can trust you no matter what we face, in Jesus' name, and help us to exhibit your character.
Yes.
Amen.